Namaste and welcome to the Modern Mystic Podcast, where we are exploring the mystical in the mundane and the magic in the present moment, bringing you ancient tools and technologies into modern day living, yoga, mythic, and healing conversations with expert and visionary powerhouses sharing their stories and secrets with you to help you live an inspired life. Welcome to the Modern Mystic Podcast, where we help you make your spirituality an actuality and find more meaning, magic, and mindfulness in your day-to-day life. I am your host, Kilkenny, who is an elite coach, yoga and meditation professor, priestess, psychic medium, and astrologer, and have been training and spiritually mentoring folks for over 20 years. So I am so thrilled to be welcoming my soul brother, Joe Longo, who is also an elite coach. And I wanted to bring him here today because he is super inspiring. And we are going to talk about how to stay inspired and how to get unstuck. So Joe had joined me more recently in the podcast episode entitled The Nuts and Bolts of Manifesting, episode 61. So you can very quickly go back and hear his answer to what it means to him to be a modern mystic. But today we're just going to dive right in. I've had so many listeners write me, hey, can you create more episodes? Hey, can you be a little more personal and like divulge more about yourself and your life? And Joe has such an amazing way of bringing his full, I feel like, personal life in a very clear, boundaried way, still healthy way, into his teachings. And I want to think about having a series and having him back on and on again called Mystic Misfits, because he and I are both very much outliers. Wouldn't you say that, Joe?
Yeah, I would say that. I 100% agree.
So
love being a misfit.
Right? It's like, how do you even qualify as a misfit when you're a mystic? Because that's already so out there. But Joe and I go so deep and so wide. So you'll see.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so thrilled for our listeners to find out, like, how do you stay inspired, first of all? Because you are a dude who produces so much. You're all over the place. And every time I see you speak and have conversations with you personally, even, I feel like we're like two kids, you know, who just have tons of energy and whose parents want to like say, okay, take a time out, because we both have a lot of energy. So I'm curious, how do you stay inspired and cultivate and maintain the amount of excitement and energy that you do so beautifully every day?
Well, really simple, very simple. It starts with every day saying, spirit team, you're invited in to help me create the inspired content that I create. And then I say, God, thank you for the inspiring ideas, creating the content that I create. So I'm starting the day really inviting my team in and giving thanks to God for the ability to allow whatever is going to come through without the question of it, right? I'm inviting it in. And I think I'm inviting it in, and we may have talked about this in one of our off podcast conversations. My family filled with artists. They can paint, they can draw. And I remember having a conversation with my brother, and he was like, I just can't come up with stuff. Like, I can't. And I'm like, wait, everything is just flowing. But it made me also realize that it isn't flowing for everybody. And what I did notice was I've always been in the space of saying, I'm creative. The ideas don't stop. And a lot of my coaching revolves around understanding how our brain works and the reticular activating system being the filtration system for our brain. So what we tell it, it shows us. And sometimes, sure, I'll get into a space where I'm just like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, or what I'm going to talk about, or what I'm going to create. And I find when I get into that space, I stay there longer because now I'm in that story. I don't know what I'm going to create. So now my brain keeps sitting in that, well, what am I going to create? But if I'm just in the space of, it's Tuesday, it's a content creation day, I'm going to turn my camera on. I already invited my spirit team in and we're going to roll. and we're going to do this. And it typically does flow, but I do set the intention that, when I come here and sit right here and face that camera, that my intention is to create content that's going to inspire people to create their own content or be the best accountant that they can be.
I love it, because what you tapped in on is this idea that so many people share, that their limited, quote, egoic selves are the only operating system they're working with. And that's what it is to be a modern mystic. Remembering, like you said, there are unseen forces. Or if you don't believe, quote unquote, in, you know, God, or you don't want to specifically talk about your spirit team, you know, that feels too out there and elusive. It's like, think of your higher self, right? Like your most wise part of yourself that we're not always downloading and connecting to. So however you want to think about it, whichever semantics you want to use, I love that you start your day in this way, because you're starting from a place of opening to humanity, life force energy, and thus the muse, you know, thus the creativity. You know, in the yogic tradition, which both you and I share, specifically the tantric yoga tradition in my lineage, there's this aspect of self. It's like if you're an onion and there are five layers of self, it's called the Vyanamaya Kosha. It's the fourth layer of self. So you've got your outer onion, and I actually have a podcast episode on this, so you can go look that up. It's called the Koshas, K-O-S-H-A-S. And the Vyanamaya Kosha is, if you peel back three layers and you get to the fourth layer, it's the muse body. It's the wisdom body, it's called, you know, the higher self body. And so sometimes we have to peel back those layers, because often many of us are operating from the physical body, that first layer of self called the Anamaya Kosha, or the second layer of self, which is your energetic body, and you don't feel so good. You wake up, you feel tired, you know, maybe you didn't get enough sleep, maybe you don't have your coffee yet, so you're grumpy. So you're in that energetic layer of self, or the third body, which is the mental, intellectual body. And you start your day so wise from your creative body, from thinking, okay, let me open up to my team, let me open to my highest self. And instantly that opens creative flow for sure. Love that.
And I just posted this in my new school community. Do people set intentions? And for you, for all of the listeners, do you set daily intentions? Do you set weekly intentions? And instead of saying, these are my weekly goals, but like intention, and we are being intentional. And I think there's just something different about a goal and an intention, because I think we take an intention a little more energetically seriously.
I concur.
We're being intentional about it. So I've come to really make my morning as intentional as I can, because I'm blessed with time and a wonderful partner and a dog and a cat. So I have the freedom that my morning can really be like, I'm going to do this. And it isn't long either. Like today I set my alarm for, I think, 8 minutes, and I just sat in silence on my couch for just 8 minutes with the cat on my lap. The timer went off, the cat jumped off, and I started my day.
Amazing. Yeah, let's keep going. I talk so much on this podcast about morning routines, the importance of setting your energy. The one thing I want to highlight, what you said, which is brilliant, is about the intention versus a goal. Because to me, intention is so much about feeling, right? And the goals to me can embody like actionable steps. But what you said is really profound, because it's like, okay, if you have a goal, you know, say you want to write a book. Okay, let's go deeper. Why do you want to write the book? What's the feeling behind when you write the book? What will your emotional state be? And let your intention reflect that. Yeah.
Yes. I love it so much that you use that example. Because I've been doing a write your book course through my friend Kate Brenton, and I got through like one or two modules, and I called her and I'm like, dude, you're telling people how to manifest.
And so true.
She said, like, it was that, like, why, what is the intention of the book? What is it? And I'm like, this is manifesting right here. And it's everything with life. And it's interesting, because people will tell me, Joe, when you say the word manifesting, I turn it off. I'm like, okay. You just don't. But really, it's more than like we're not doing magic. We're just being for the spiritual community. We are actually just being mindful.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly what it, right. Like that's what it is. And I think sometimes in this space, it's fun to say I'm practicing mindfulness and yes. I'm being mindful. But if we really are, then it's like, okay, and I only need a couple of minutes in the morning to really be mindful and say, okay, this is what I have today. And I'm going to keep going just because it's flowing. So if you think about this, if you woke up this morning and you were somewhere where it was snowy and you had a 10 o'clock meeting with your boss. So you wake up and it's snowing. You're like, man, I got to shuffle my car out. Traffic is going to be horrible. And I got this 10 a.m. with my boss, and they are always really crappy. I have a boss, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. My Tuesday one-on-ones are horrible. So you're going into your day with two strikes because you know you went to bed thinking about that 10 a.m. with your boss. And you probably were thinking, traffic is going to be horrible. So now you wake up with that intention because you're feeling it. And that's a part that I think we don't realize is that all of it, the intention is the emotion, and the emotion makes it come to life, right? Exactly. It makes it imprint in our brain. So all of that, now we're in this emotion that Tuesday is going to be horrible because it's snowy and I got this one-on-one with my boss. What else is going to go wrong? Unwittingly, unconsciously, just being humans, we set our brain up to show us what else is going to be wrong on Tuesday. We asked for it.
Yeah, and we start looking for it. And the reason is, you know, that's a whole nother podcast episode, right? But we're humans and we're animals. And so we're trained mm-hmm. to look for flight or fight situations, right? And yeah. So the modern mystic honors that the nervous system does that, the mind does that. We get to know mindfully, like you're saying, oh, our mind does this when I have the boss meeting, right? Oh, so then I need to consciously put different thoughts, put a different operating system in my brain, because actually I am in control of my thoughts, right? I am in control of my thoughts. My thoughts will come, but then I decide, will I continue on the trajectory of them or do I change the spotification in my brain, right? And that is all the difference. I love right. how you talked about when people you work with or listeners of yours say, like, they don't like the word manifest. It's so funny. I do. I love the word mindfulness. And, you know, the truth is that, as I mentioned, the mind layer of self, that kosha, right, sits next to the muse layer of self. So, mm-hmm. You know, you use your mind. It's their neighbors, right? So right. to get into the house, if your house is locked, you might go to the neighbor and get the key. So you can use your mind in a way to like planting certain thoughts. And as you had alluded to, looking for not the negative things that are happening, but trying to find, okay, what is going well that's happening? What are the feelings I want to have? I'm going to mentally take note of that and then access the wisdom body. It's so great. Okay, so other ideas, because there are other people who are going to say, okay, I do meditate 5 minutes a day. Still don't feel inspired. So let's get even more practical. It's great for people doing practices. If you're not doing practices, start to do practices. You only have to do 2 to 3 minutes a day to change your brain and change your physiology. Other ways you stay inspired throughout your day.
I joke about this, and I say I joke because I think it makes me feel better, but or protect it. Part of my life, I was a professional observer. I was a full-time photographer. So my job was to look at things and see things. It's still in me. I still am that Joe, and I'm always looking and seeing and just like a very curious mind. So as I go throughout the day, kind of in this open space, programmed from the day, I'm open to seeing the thing, right? I'm open for those inspiring ideas. And in that, it puts me in the space of being present to see. Now, I'm going to say this. This is like a great day, right? That my brain is working. I'm also human. So there's days where I'm like, well, oh my goodness, what about this? And what about this? And I have to do this. Just like everybody else, right? We all have those thoughts, but can I control it, right? Can I get in that? Do I want to roll down the road of worry? or pull it back. And over years of time, I realized that the worry isn't going to do anything for me, right? But it's been years where there were be days or months where I would just drop into the worry and be like, I'm just going to sit here because it's warm and cozy. So I don't want anyone that's listening to think that what we are talking about is easy by any sense of the word. There's simple practices that are really hard. But once we implement the simple practices, all of a sudden we start catching ourselves. So it's that, again, the mindfulness being present with the intention of, am I catching what might be coming? And what am I working on? So in teaching yoga to meditation, it's like I have my core things. So it's like as I set the intention and I'm saying open, I've asked my brain really to give me what should I teach the yoga class about? What should this Instagram reel be about? What should the podcast be? And all of a sudden I find myself and I'm like, oh, that would be a neat thing to talk about. Or I just, right before this, I just recorded a podcast on Maslow's hierarchy of needs and these 8 steps, right? Yeah. That everyone is like, if you have these, everything is cool in your life. But it's like step 4, you really need to master step 1. And the master step 1, it's hard to get to step 4. Anyway, the point is, I saw a Newsweek article which inspired something. So it puts you in the space. But if we're in the space of I'm not creative, I can't think of anything. I can't. Now we're in the I can'ts.
Totally.
Which lead our brain to continually show you that you can't, even though you can, but your brain's going to show you that you can't.
Well, and I love what you do because you're saying like, okay, well, I went somewhere else for inspiration because I think that's a very concrete thing you can do, right? Mm-hmm. You feel stuck. You're aware you're stuck. Awareness is one. You feel inspired. Oh, I feel inspired. So I'm going to make a different choice. Okay, what then can I move towards in an actionable way? So one, you can look around you and look for other people who inspire you. Read things that inspire you. You know, it sounds so simple, but when we get in our habits, because part of what we're talking about is our habitual ways of being. If we really pull the shadow back on that, a lot of us are addicted to the negative tendencies and habits we have. They actually feel good. So one thing listeners can do, right, is chew on that. Like, I feel anxious, but is there a little part of me, that little inner child, you know, 8-year-old girl or boy or whomever, that actually feeling anxious is my security blanket that makes me feel safe? And who would I be if I didn't have anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one contemplation to chew on. And then two, as we both mentioned, look for other materials and people who inspire you and then become absorbed in them. Don't just like scroll for a second, but like go down a committed rabbit hole. You feel a little sparky about someone or something, like you said, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, go Google it, look it up, read about it. I had to control myself right now from being like, oh, right, what were the 8 steps, and Googling it right now while we're talking. And I had to go, okay, rein it in. I get so excited about things and ideas and such. So I think that's another really profound thing.
And I love that you said that because there's this in some people I studied with in the manifesting world, they have what's called expanders. And the expanders are just people in our life that inspire us. I'm like, oh, of course. And many years ago, the first time I read Think and Grow Rich, and Napoleon Hill talked about his masterminds. And then he talked about his virtual masterminds. So this is like in the 40s, he's talking about a virtual mastermind that he's creating in his head of all of the inspiring people he would like to sit at a table with. So he would have a virtual, in his mind, mastermind with the smartest, brightest people that he can. We can all do that now. Hop on and, you know, scroll for good. Who is that, like, that you want to watch that's inspiring you? Go watch their content. Take it in. And then you're like, oh, wow. That's what I do. And back in the day, that was a big part of my morning. I would journal. I would watch 15 minutes of some inspiring YouTube and read 15 minutes of an inspiring book.
Yeah, and like, a great, you just practice.
Get that inspiration coming at you that it has to then just start cycling out.
Well, I love even you're alluding to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because I'm remembering, like, in my mind, the first one has to do with the basic needs. It's like psychological needs, right? Or the root chakra in the yoga we talk about.
Very
the
base,
food, just water, shelter, sleep, breathing. So as you were speaking, I was like, oh, I'm so happy you brought that up. And I love how we're downloading off of each other. Even earlier when you're like, oh, you said book. It's so funny. You know, and that's like the psychic part of me. It happens all the time with guests. I get off the podcast recordings and they're like, I can't believe you said a Virgo moon, because I have a Virgo moon. That happened to me the other day with a guest. And now you're talking about the hierarchy of needs. And I'm like, oh, right, like the root chakra and breath, because that's one of the contemplations I was having right before we had this conversation. So it's a perfect bridge and linking to it. In the hierarchy of needs, the first basic set of needs so we can be fulfilled and have a completely inspired life is having your physiological needs met. That includes breath and inspiration. If you think about the word in the etymological root, inspiration, it's spiration, which is French, which is rooted in Latin, which means to breathe and to be in spirit. So when we can't feel in spirit, like in the morning, if you wake up and you're not Joe Longo or myself, and it just doesn't come so quickly. And it comes because he and I have practiced it. You know, it's, again, right, it does not always come easy. It's practice, practice, and a continual recommitment to faith and trust that this is the way it works. But when one doesn't feel that way, find your breath. That's a way to connect to spirit, right? That invisible bridge that connects the seen and the unseen. Do breath practices. Sounds so simple, like Joe said, but get a real commitment to breathwork practices, whether it's box breath practice, breathing in, holding for a certain amount, 4 seconds, holding for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and with no air for 4 seconds. Or maybe it's three for you. But when we invite our breath into our body very consciously, set a timer on your phone every hour, take 3 deep breaths, commit to that, and that will shift everything, don't you think?
100%. 100%. I remember hearing Abraham Esther and Jerry Hicks talk about 17 seconds. And then if you can hold a thought for 17 seconds, me being me, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this. And it wasn't like the things that I was holding in my mind for 17 seconds were coming to pass, but I was feeling amazing after 17 seconds. So it was just like, oh, wow, I just need 17 seconds to breathe a little bit and hold that attention. Maybe things will work, but I feel better just after the 17 seconds.
Yes.
If the thing shows up in my life or not, I at least took 17 seconds for myself. Again, which sounds silly, but everyone that's listening, try it. 17 seconds a day.
You all have 17 seconds, yo. You all definitely do. And I remember hearing that years ago too. So I love that recollection. Thank you for that. And you know, like you, I was always a practitioner and this and this and that. But that number, I was like, whoa, that's so cool, you know, to really have them say that specific number and to really feel the energetics of, wow, it just takes 17 seconds to feel a shift. All you have to do is commit to that shift, and all you have to do is breathe. You'll feel better. No one took a deeper breath, took more mindful breaths ever, and said, I wish I hadn't done that ever.
Yeah. Ever. And the funny thing is, I was having a conversation with somebody about this last week, is that we don't do it. What if I miss something in those 17 seconds?
So, so true.
And our mind will tell us that story. So much so that, like, we've just done 17 seconds 18 times. From the story that our, no, you can't do that for 17 seconds. No, I really can't. None. You're going to miss so much if you do that. What if, you know, somebody posts something fun and you didn't see it? And then it's all of a sudden you're like, the last 20 minutes, I was just arguing with myself about sitting for 17 seconds.
It's so true. That fear of missing out. Yet what we really miss out on is the actual moments of our lives. We miss out on our life because we allow our mind to keep being that toddler running in all the directions, right? And not giving them the healthy boundaries. If we give our mind some guardrails, amazing things happen. So I love that. Also, don't you think changing things up? Because part of, and let's get into that a little bit. Okay, so we don't feel inspired. Some of our listeners, we feel stuck. When we're in those places, very human, very real, we all feel them. changing things up can be really profound, because first you and I started with, okay, what are habits? You know, what are affirmations you can do? What are the goals and intentions you can set? Okay, in the morning, have a routine. I always talk about this too, so I'm not going to go into it in your other episodes. At nighttime, have some kind of routine, right? So we're talking on one hand about, okay, ritual and routine and mindful checklist kind of activities that can support you feeling more inspired. And then there's the antithesis, right? There's the, okay, I always walk this way to work. Let me walk this way to work. Or I always do X, let me do Y. Because sometimes it's the little things that are the big things in the way of our behavioral changes and the way we feel. Yeah. So what do you think about that? And let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that is a great practice. And I wonder if this happens to you. So you can hear the people saying the things, talking about what we're talking about. Like, I hear them. But another simple practice to do this, to get our brain to start thinking differently, just brush your teeth with your opposite hand. And it starts creating new neuroplasticity within our brain that, again, opens up our brain up to be more perceptive, to see things more clearly. And if you are feeling stuck, stop saying, I feel stuck, and start brushing your teeth with your opposite hand. And I hear you all saying, whatever, that sounds ridiculous. Just try it. Try it for 17 days.
I love it. It's so true. Well, for that, we just had an Aquarius new moon. And, you know, whenever people will be listening to this, it could be in 5 years from now, but, you know, that comes once a year. But that Aquarian energy, because we have a lot of astrology lovers on this podcast, you know, is the energy of shaking things up. The planet that represents that's Uranus. And so in time, space, reality, we just had, you know, a big Aquarian moment. But honestly, we're entering the Aquarian age. So the reality is that this is the energy now that's on the forefront and will be for hundreds of years. It's about doing things differently. So I'm talking to my youngest son about this. And I was like, I'm going to pick one thing to do, you know, differently to shake things up. And right away, he said to me, oh, I know the best thing for you, Mom. And I was like, what? And he took my phone and changed it so that it's on what, black or dark. So I look at everything on light, you know, and on dark. And my first response was like, eh. And like my brain went, oh, I can't really see it well. And I'm thinking like, oh, I get all these emails and work, right? You know, and right away my brain was like, eh, you know, no, right? And I was like, oh, that's so funny. I had such a strong reaction. I definitely must need to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that catching of yourself, because the brain will react. Even me with all these years of training, quote unquote, right? This is the mind. We laugh at, we say, oh, okay, that's, there goes the mind again. that's the normal reaction. It wants to keep me safe. It wants to keep me, you know, out of fight or flight. That feels good. But I was like, okay. And now it's been, you know what, 3 or 4 days and it's on the black and I still don't love it. Mm-hmm. But I can feel how it's, I'm reading things more carefully. I'm challenged a little bit. I'm, you know, and I can tell like, oh, my brain is actually being stretched. Thank you so much. Neuroplasticity and my youngest son. So it can be little things like that. And then the toothbrushing is hilarious and such a practical thing people can do. So I love that. That's a great.
And another one that's so simple, we forget. I literally have a Post-it that Tina put up in our bathroom that says, brush your teeth with your other hand.
Love it.
Because, I'll forget because we're so used to it, but to go in there and you're just like, what is happening? It's like, what is going on? This is so weird.
Well, you and I are but I just have to, before I forget this, say that the Post-it note is such a crack up. Because you and I, again, like have this funny, it must be like for sure past lives connection. Mm-hmm. Because I do a thing with sticky notes and my partner cracks up because like they'll be falling sometimes, like they get tired, you know what I mean? And he's like, oh, do you want this one or do you not, babe? You know, like and
but, I get that one.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh, it's time or oh, it's meant to be, it fell. Or sometimes I'm like, no, because I know I haven't done it enough yet. I'm like, no, let me lick it and get the glue back going. I need to put it back up on my mirror. So when I brush my teeth, I have a sticky, not like tons, but like I have a sticky note or two around. And the first time I did that was years ago. I was going through like a crazy challenging health situation. And so I was working with healing my physical body and my mental body and emotional body for that matter, because it had been a big trauma. And the first time I ever did it was I put up the number of pi, and I thought, I need to work on changing my brain because my brain is so much a part of this. And so I'm going to stretch it by learning pi. And I wrote really tiny numbers across the whole thing, you know, many, many numbers, you know, numerical values of pi. And that was the beginning of my love affair with the sticky note in the bathroom mirror. So I love that.
My first sticky note, I still have it. You can't read it anymore. It's that I'm a photographer. And it's in one of my Kundalini books that I teach, one of my manifestation workshops. I'm like, this was on my mirror. I saw it every day, well before I was a photographer. But every morning I looked at it, I'm a photographer.
Yeah. And the habits that we do, like right now, I have a sticky note on my refrigerator about a habit that I want to shift. So it's on my refrigerator because I never have sticky notes on my refrigerator. So I was like, okay, put something, you know, you can put something you want to create or tackle a habit you don't want to create, but with an affirming verbiage. Like, for example, my family and our lifestyle, we've been eating later and it's just not working for me. So this is a concrete example. So I have on my refrigerator 9:30 because it's affirming. It's saying, okay, eat by 9:30 or else don't be eating, you know? And so that's a concrete example, because so often with our habits, you know, we focus on, oh, don't do this, but you can create something, a reminder, do this, you know, until X, Y, and Z, and make that new habit happen by focusing on the new habit. And the sticky note strategy, put it somewhere you've never had anything. You know, I have this very sparse refrigerator, so I like see it. Next time I'll change it up and put one somewhere else, because then I'll notice it.
And that's the key. We have to replace our old habits with new positive habits. But the old habits, we don't even realize anymore are old habits because they're just happening.
So then true.
We have to pull those layers of the onion away and start that uncovering. And it's interesting, when I'm editing my podcast, I'm trying to be more aware about it, but I say right all of the time. Say a statement, right? Like there's this reaffirming. So now I'm trying to be more aware when I'm speaking to myself, to people on other podcasts, with my coaching clients. Like, where am I going? Did I say it? And just that awareness is now the practice. I'm not going to beat myself up if I say right, because if I'm also editing my podcast, I'm going to be correcting myself. I'm going to see it in there. Like, oh, there it is again and again and again. But if I'm like, oh, I only did it 5 times this episode, that's good. And having the little win, instead of beating ourselves up, like, oh my goodness, I did it again, I can't stop. Now we can, because we told ourselves. And it really does, for everyone that is here listening, our brain really is that powerful, and it listens to us, and then it gives us what we tell it.
Well, I love that authentic share. Thank you. And I can relate, because there are certain vocal habits I've had that I've realized and had to lose. And with you, it's really profound, because it's really part of what you're speaking to is an ancient meditative practice. And the practice is, I don't know if you've heard this practice, but it's, you know, you're thinking in a conversation or wherever you are, and it's like, oh, you're having 20 thoughts. Try having 19. Mm-hmm. You're having 19 thoughts. Try having 18, right? So as Westerners, I think we can often go into these practices and think, okay, I have to now go from 100 thoughts an hour or a minute to eradicating them all, right? Or that's not mindfulness. No, the mindfulness is, oh, how many thoughts am I having? Okay, can I just have one less? Or like you're saying, if I say the word right 5 times, can I do it 4? And what you set yourself up for, which is so fantastic, is success. Like, oh, I only did 4, right? These bite-sized, manageable things. And then you're inspired. It becomes a game. Oh, can I do 3? Mm-hmm. Oh, can I do 2? You didn't go from, oh, I do 5 every, you know, episode, so can I go none, right? So it's the small, incremental, like you're saying, wins that actually keep us inspired and make it more playful. And mm-hmm. I feel like when we're playful, let's talk about that, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's it.
Play.
Like, that is it. We have to play. And also so interesting, because I was just going through some old videos that I did for a company, and I did a series on creativity and play for the corporate world. And it was so interesting, like recording these videos. I mean, like, we have to play. Like, if you want to be creative in the business world, you have to be able to play. You have to be able to relax. You have to be able to have fun and know that it doesn't matter if you're a C-suite executive. If you can actually start playing and enjoying it, you're going to have better ideas to manage your team, to manage your company. We have to get that childlikeness that's within all of us. And I think that if we can let ourselves play and have fun, if you are in a creative block, that creativity is going to start popping out again. But you have to let yourself be a silly goofball.
Yes, like, yes. I was speaking with someone a couple of years ago who is a wonderful yoga teacher, and she's in Europe, and she's a coach, and, you know, like us, does all the things. And we were talking, and she's like, well, what are you doing these days? Because she looked at my chart. We were like looking at each other's astrology charts because we were getting certified and learning more and more. She's like, okay, so where's fire in your chart? Because that's part of the play energy. So for those astrology buffs, or come get a reading with me, I'll tell you where your fire is and how to access it and make it grow into a beautiful bonfire. So she was like, where's play in your chart? And I was like, oh, well, you know, the fire's here. And she's like, well, what are you doing these days for play? And I said, oh, my yoga mat and this and that. And she's a yoga teacher. And she was like, well, that's not play. You know, she's like, play, that's not really wild. And, you know, someone's teaching you. Or, you know, she was an Ashtangi and she's practicing like a series all day long. So it was very sweet. And I took it in. Like, I actually thought about it, which was like, huh, that's, you know, okay, let me really, really think about it. And then I did a practice. And then I was like, okay. And I shot a video of my practice. And there are three kids running around. My dog's in and out. I'm doing wild stuff. I'm playing, like, you know, rap music and chanting intermittently. And I sent it to her. And she wrote me back, okay, that's play. And then she showed me her practice, which was, like, regimented and ashtangi, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just shows how, let's talk about different activities we can do. But the point too, it's the feeling of what you're doing when you're doing it, and how play for me could be not play for you too, right?
Right. Again, and I think that's with all of these things, that when I'm peeling that layer of the onion away and discovering what we like, what we enjoy. And it could be as simple as going for a walk or riding a bicycle, especially if you rode a bicycle when you were a kid. And maybe you haven't ridden one in a while. And I'd like to share a really fun story. This past summer, when we moved into our house, Tina brought her bikes that were her kids' bikes. And they're beach cruiser-ish bicycles. But they hadn't been ridden in a long time. So we pumped them up and we went for a ride. And the bike that I had, the back tire, needed to be replaced. So I was like, I got to walk back. So I'm walking the bike down the road from our house. And all of a sudden, Tina comes flying down the road next to me. And she just looks back like a little kid and says, you can go next. And there was something in that little kid, you can go next, but I'm going now. Like, I am ripping down the hill and I'm going now. In that little moment of just going for a bike ride through our development turned into this play. That I don't remember the last time I screamed at somebody, you can go next, you know? And it like brought so much joy and excitement in. And it was just a silly riding a beach cruiser.
That's right. It's you. It's so wonderful. And some people would be in that circumstance with their partner and get mad and annoyed. Like, a lot of adults would be like, or feel, you know, competitive in a way that would like take the situation down. Mm-hmm. So it becomes, I think, as adults, you know, if you're at work, you know, running your boardroom meeting, yeah, that would be annoying. But right. When we're in relationship with others, pay attention to moments that could open up a window like that or start them. I start water fights with people in my house and so many times. I mean, my kids to this day, and I'm so blessed. I have like really fun kids and I mean, they're great and they're very playful too. And I think part of that is because I've really been committed to playing with them forever. They're older now, you know, my oldest is, and he's in college. And the other night we were like food shopping together and it was 9 o'clock. We shut down the store and we get in the parking lot and there's like, you know, no one there. It's very vacant. And he's got the shopping cart. He goes, "Do you want to jump on?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so I jump on and he's drifting me in the parking lot. And this is because his whole life, whenever we go anywhere and it's safe and reasonable, particularly in IKEA where they have huge aisles, I have always consistently done that with him. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing it with me, you know? So it's so beautiful. I love what you, with Tina, that you're doing that, right? Because now I bet often when you get on bikes, like, don't you have that memory of that? Like, have you reenacted that a little bit? Is it like a thing now?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, now we both have tires and we can both enjoy the fun. And just that ability to be silly. And I think growing up, well, definitely for me growing up, my family is very silly. We joked around a lot. My grandfather would trip us with his cane, you know, like just do things in a silly kind of way. And I think that silliness led to the creativity that was around me my entire life. And I think I bottled it up because I couldn't paint or draw like most of my family. Well, they were painting and drawing. I was just kind of like sitting and it was like building and building and building and building. And then all of a sudden it popped. I'm like, oh my goodness, wait, here it comes. But for most of my young life, I wasn't like I was doing the things that my family was doing in the creative space. Cause I told myself the story that I wasn't creative because I couldn't draw. And everyone else could draw, so I just put it together. But we were always joking around, and these, like, my dad woke up one night and cut a van in half and made it into a pickup truck, like an 8-passenger van.
Awesome.
And he had this creative dream about cutting the van that we don't need anymore, but we're not trading it in, so let's cut it in half and shrink it. And there was like these things that also taught me that it was we are allowed to have those crazy creative ideas. Like, I'm going to cut a van in half.
I love it. Well, if you are listening and you didn't have a father like Joe, who cut vans in half, that is so fabulous. We are now here to give you the play permission slip. So play, find ways to play. I think so many people will resonate with you about, you know, oh, well, I'm not an artist because I get a lot of coaching clients. Well, I'm not really creative. You know, a lot of people feel that way. Like, I don't do pottery. I don't do, you know, drawing and such. And of course, one way you can think about being creative is, why not try? Go get an adult class and do pottery. You know, think of something that maybe would light your fire in that way creatively, because even if you suck at it, it can unlock certain creative juices, particularly things that you've always had an inkling and inclination towards, like, oh, I'd like to play the guitar secretly, or I'd like to play the drums, right? So that is for sure another actionable step that you can do. The other thing I think is just changing your perspective, literally, like you talked about going in nature. You know, nature holds such a high vibration and nature is so elastic, and it is the ultimate teacher in changeability and play, right? The leaves change, those deciduous leaves, at least on the East Coast where we are in the fall, they play the leaves. And so when we are in nature, our vibration literally starts to align with it. We start to vibrate at a higher level, a more expanded level, more playful level, more joyful level, more creative level. So, I mean, I think that is the simplest medicine for everyone, is to go out in nature and commit to that 5 minutes a day, you know, more than you already think you do. 20 minutes, you know, whatever it is, make a plan. You're in a city park, go out to the park, walk around. I do that right now when I shoot my podcast.
And even it just look at the sky. Literally, just look at the sky and the clouds and the way things move. It is a painting that you're seeing happen live in front of you. And another great practice, I got this from my friend Jennifer Pasloff for a long time on her Instagram and her community. She was doing beauty hunting. So like, we're out and about, take a picture of something that you find to be beautiful, share it, tag beauty hunting. And it created the intention, right? When I walk out the door, I'm looking for something beautiful. So we can do that in this creative space of, again, coming to the intention that, all right, I'm going beauty hunting. When I leave my house, I'm looking for one thing that makes me say, that's beautiful. Snap a picture of it. You don't have to share with anybody, but just snap a picture of it for yourself.
Yes, and keep a folder of it. It's so I've been giving myself the social media break the last year or two, but it's so funny you said that because I have a whole folder of nature shots that I'm like, someday I'm going to share these on social and invite others. It's a very like that kind of idea to do a similar thing. In yoga, they call it the practice of Sri seeking. So maybe I'll call it that even like your colleague, you know, had that idea too. Sri means beauty or auspiciousness, goodness, something that's innately just high vibes. And so I love that about the sky. And there's an ancient practice in Buddhism that's about sky gazing. And that idea that you just, if you stare at the sky, again, 1 to 3 minutes, and just commit to that, 17 seconds, let's start there. How, you know, that they say you start to see into infinity and you really feel your connection to all that is, which is where we began the conversation, that you are who you are, and yet you're more than you are if you tap into that more. So,
and the more that we tap in, the more that we connect to that divine matrix, that space of everything and nothing, where everything comes from. And then you, and again, after years of practice and doing these things, you find yourself in this space of, it's like, here are all of the ideas. I just have to pick one. Which one do I want today? Because they're always there. And you start finding that people around you then are also in that space. And everybody's kind of having the same ideas then. It's like, wait, I thought of something just like that. Because now we're all playing in that magic space. We've all got there and we can all get there. We just forget. Something will happen like, oh, I wrote the book. I made the picture. I did this. I did that. How am I going to top it? Right. Yeah, and we get there.
I love how you spoke about that divine matrix place. Cause that's where we're going towards, right? That's the well of creativity. And we all have our individual wells, but we take our buckets and we go deep down and we dip from that. You know, another way to say it, the divine matrix, that muse energy. What else do you do to stay inspired? Physical for me, huge. Like I said, going upside down is literally changing your perspective. But speaking of the yoga mat, literally, you know, that changes literally your vision, your viewpoint. Going to nature changes the setting. So just to articulate that, what about you?
Vigorous for me, any vigorous practice will spark the creative energy post. So if I go take a really vigorous yoga class, when I'm at home showering after that class, right, it's going to hit. If I go take a HIIT workout, you know, one of those high intensity, throw the weight around class things, shower after that is going to be filled with ideas just because I'm pushing my body in that direction. That once that release is like, it's almost, and when I teach Kundalini, when you do ego eradicator and you hold your arms up in the air for 3 minutes and you do breath of fire, and then you let those arms down ever so slowly after the big breath and you hold root lock, right? You let that release. And as that energy is moving, it's just, everything's percolating and coming to the top. So anything physical that's really going to push me opens up a well of flow.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Do physical things that, you know, where you're exerting your energy that are safe for you. And it just breaks up stuck energy because the body is that outer layer. It's the container of everything. And so it will shake up the calcified muse energy if it feels calcified. So I totally agree with that. And then sometimes it's a matter of too, I think, just you're trying to do a project, you're trying to birth something, or you don't know what you want to birth. Put your focus on something else, like we're talking about, like play, something joyful, something silly. Maybe it's like just watching something funny, because I feel like humor is a big thing. You know, if you're so serious and focused on something, sometimes that blocks creativity, don't you think? And so you just go, okay, I'm going to take my actual attention totally away in a different direction. And then I'm going to literally make myself laugh.
And in that, because the moving away, I don't remember who it was, if it was Da Vinci, one of those brilliant people back in the day, would take like 5 minute, 10 minute sleep breaks, holding, I think, a quarter or a nickel or something. And as soon as, but they would go to like nap with the intention of the problem they were working on. When they would drop whatever was in their hand, they would wake up and they'd have it, right? That idea, because it was in that clear space. Neville Goddard calls it a state akin to sleep. And it's when our brain is like malleable. That's so hard for me to say. Where we can imprint it with ideas, but we can also kind of tap into the matrix, right? Into that divine matrix. But it's getting into that state where you're so relaxed that you're in between sleep and wakefulness that we kind of shut off, right? All of the outside. We shut off all of the outside and we bring everything to all of the awareness. But in it, we have to give ourselves the time to, right? Can I drop the quarter? Can I sit in silence until I'm almost asleep and then catch yourself?
So great. So great. The other things I wanted to talk about too before we wrap up that I was thinking about as we're speaking are one, employing all your senses. So thinking about, okay, what inspires my vision? You know, maybe for you, it's Monet paintings. What inspires my scent? Maybe for you, it's frankincense. What inspires my ears? Maybe for you, it's, you know, whatever type of music you love. What inspires my feeling and texture, right? Like how many people do that? I do this a lot with my clients. Like we work on, you know, developing psychic abilities and intuitive things using the senses. So like, many people haven't thought about what they like to touch. You know, is it velvet? Is it smooth wood? You know, so you can make a checklist of your go-to sense expanders, to put it in your fabulous terminology, right? What are the sense expanders that allow your joy pathways and creativity to open? Because the senses will, for sure, yield dividends with inspiration if you open them up and use them to their full capacity.
You know, it's interesting as you say that I'm holding this deck of oracle cards. And what I found when I started pulling oracle cards a lot and during the pandemic, I would just sit and shuffle. Never pull a card, just sit and shuffle. And it was like that calming stillness, little meditation. I'm doing something. But typically in those shuffles, it was as if I did pull a card.
It's so, so fabulous. Well, when I teach people psychic, you know, to be psychic mediums, people who I find like are literally meant to do that work, not just like develop their abilities, but actually to do that kind of work in the world, one of the hacks I teach them is to hold something. I'll get my little rocks here. So I have two little rocks. Like hold a rock or crystal in your hand and literally play with them or rub it. Sometimes walk around, and because a lot of times people start that work and they're really understandably unconscious. I mean, self-conscious. I was too, for sure. It's like, is this really happening? Am I really? You have a state of disbelief that this is actually happening. So it's a way that you're tuning into to feel into that for yourself. And like you said, use your hands and your senses. I'm cracking up because you're my first guest to be like, oh, my box of oracle cards here, because to my left with my rocks are my box of tarot cards. So
it's, my rock's too far away to grab.
So back to the mystic misfits, like you might be listening to mystical people in the meditative and mindfulness worlds, but we're so out there. We have our stuff like next to us.
It's just here
at all times. They're just like part, like my cup of water and my cards or whatever, right?
It's part of it. A lot of my coaching, this little angel deck, you probably have this. Everybody seems to have one.
Oh, yeah, every morning. My whole family, we all pick one.
And these were lost. I don't want to say lost. They were in a box for 13 years.
No.
And when I moved in here and was unpacking an old box, I was like, oh, my goodness, look at these angel cards that came out right when I started doing the Archangel Michael reads. So they've been around, and now it's just like, okay, the beginning of a session, I'll pull a card, and I'll be like, let's see. Or we'll be talking, and I'll just pull a card. I'm like, oh, look, balance. Today is balance.
But so there are these angel cards for, excuse me, for listeners, because a lot of people will be just listening to this. Mm-hmm. There's these little thin cards. They almost look like fortune cookie.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like it's about the size of a fortune cookie thing.
Like little message. And mm-hmm. on each one is one word. And then the most fabulous thing about this deck is there's an angel, but there's an angel very actively doing something. So, mm-hmm. so much of what the card is about is looking, what's that little angel doing? Because sometimes angels like doing dishes, or the angel's, you know, on a beach playing with a ball, right?
Right. So and this balancing angel is balancing on a string. And I think I love this because it comes back to the creativity and all of it. Like, these cards, right, are my tools that help me connect deeper to myself, that allow me to be creative, that allow me to connect to whatever the balance is that we need. So if I'm in session with somebody, it's there. And it's like, all right, seeing the true you. And usually, you know, that card has something exactly to do with the conversation that we're having. Yeah. But it's just part of it. I haven't done this forever with my coaching. Right? Like, it took me a while to actually have the courage to sit here in a coaching session and be like, all right, I'm going to have all of my things because this is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, it comes back to full circle. So it's a great way to wrap up the conversation of just trusting. You know, mm-hmm. when we started the conversation, it was like, well, in the morning I open up and the first thing I do, you were saying, is like, you essentially remember to trust because you have unseen support. And when you trusted yourself, and even with the cards and the tools we use, there are divination tools that can support us and help us trust more. Mm-hmm. And when we trust, we let go. And when we let go, creativity can happen. So Eleanor Roosevelt said, it just came to me, like, do something every day that scares you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think about that, like, even with creativity, you know, when that's shaking things up, when I think about that quote, you know, it's not like walk in front of a car. You know, right. we're talking about, of course, being safe and mindful, but it pushes you to the edge a little bit. And mm-hmm.
And sometimes that scary thing is sharing that picture that you took. Maybe you wrote a poem. It doesn't have to be scary. Again, I'm going to go climb a mountain. It could be as simple as, I wrote a poem about climbing a mountain. I'm going to share it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we're brave like that, then more creativity becomes unlocked. It's like a domino effect, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the more you do it, this is the way it goes now. You tap into that flow. And I remember, for anyone that feels really, really stuck, Google Jason Silva. Do you remember Jason Silva?
Yeah.
Back in the day, he was making all of these great, great videos, like philosophy, intense-ish videos. And there's so much creativity. I think he even has a video called Creativity. It's so good. And okay. I remember watching that and, again, being inspired. Like, I don't know what I'm going to create, but I got to go create something because that just blew my mind.
Well, the act of being creative is such an important act. And I think often in our over adultified patriarchal society, it can be really diminished. Mm-hmm. But as you spoke of, and is true, and I see with my clients all the time who are lawyers, doctors, executives, the more creative we are, the more we unstuck ourselves and unstick ourselves, then those quote unquote very adult roles and things we do, as you said, we just get more and more in service, and we're more and more effective, and we change more lives. And parenthetically, then we just become more happy and more content humans, which also impacts ourselves very much on a personal and interpersonal level. So thank you for being here. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I do. I'm going to, this is my final thought, because I love this. If we're going to play the game, we're all one. And if we're all one and we all come from the creator that created everything, then we are part of that creator and have all of that creativity that created everything within us to create. with the world.
Love that. So good. Well, let's just end with a practice, should we? And let's tie in that really pithy and clever theme that you just came up with. So if it's safe to do so, close your eyes. If it's not, pause, come back to this later, and you can just listen to the words. But we'll just take 30 seconds to a minute and turn to the flow of your breath. Because again, breath, inspiration, inspired to inhale spirit. And in the truth of what Joe said, that we are all connected to one source and one force. Picture yourself opening up and feel yourself dropping down your consciousness like a well. You've got a bucket. And with each ensuing exhalation, your consciousness is just dropping down, down, down more deeply in the form of this bucket. And start to feel that bucket connect to this ocean of creativity. And sense this truth, that if you don't really believe it yet, just flirt with the idea. Okay, if it were possible, there is this unlimited source and force of creativity that's rich, that's nourishing, and that's ever fascinating that I can put my bucket into. And do that. Imagine that. Take your bucket, fill it all the way up. Maybe there's water pouring out from it because it's so full. And then with each inhalation now, draw that energetic bucket back up into your well, all the way up into your body. And feel this energetic bucket, or picture it, landing right below your navel in your second chakra, your energy center, the command center that holds the domain of your creative energy. And then pour that bucket of energetic water and creativity now into this part of your body. Feel your belly fill up, the front of your belly, the back of your sacrum, your hips even. And then you can wiggle your fingers and toes, snap your fingers. And then open your eyes a few times and close them until you feel yourself back in your body. And once your eyes are open, direct your consciousness back right below the navel and feel it more filled up. So where can folks find out about you and your work in this world?
Oh, well, let me come back down to this planet after that. That was beautiful. Thank you. The easiest place to find me is on my Instagram channel at Inspire Create Manifest, or you can find my website, inspirecreatemanifest.com. Hence the inspirational game. And we just started a brand new school community where you can come to weekly manifestation mastermind classes, weekly Kundalini classes, Oracle hangouts, all happening in Zoom and school. It's a really fun place. So you can come find me there as well.
It sounds amazing.
I'm super excited for all of it.
Fantastic. Go check that out. Check Joe out in all the places. And folks who are listeners, don't forget, please, to subscribe to the podcast. It helps it tremendously. So hit that subscribe button, and then you won't ever miss an episode, and we won't ever miss you. So please remember to do that. Also, we've got our Patreon page now up and running. So it's patreon.com/modernmysticpodcast. The podcast has grown tremendously in the last few months, so please consider donating. Every dollar goes to supporting the production of this podcast, and it is my intention to get more and more episodes out this year, so that would really help us out. Joe, thanks so much for your inspiration.
Thank you. This has been great.
so much fun. I look forward to having you back more and more for a little mystic misfit session. And here, everyone, let's live a more mindful, magical, and meaningful life. Namaste.
Thank you for taking these words in. I hope they ground, inform, and inspire you on your journey of the mystic path. If you like what you heard, please be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you use. It is so appreciated. Also, check out my website, modernmystic.love, where you can find information about my very exciting monthly Mystic membership. My members have unlimited access to a robust video library, which includes short videos that are easily digestible, sharing practical ways to integrate mystical living into your day-to-day life. These compelling videos cover topics such as how to ground, protect, and grow your energy, how to develop your psychic abilities, how to connect to your spirit team, shadow work, inner child work, tarot cards, lots of Western astrology, of course, in addition to syncing up with the rhythms of nature, and so much more. I've gotten so much positive feedback that these videos are game changers for folks. Also included in the membership are over 100 alignment-based yoga classes of all different levels, meditation and breathwork classes, so you can work from the inside out or the outside in and up-level yourself as you become the next version of you. Not to mention, my Mystic members get all sorts of bonus content and discounts from my visionary podcast guests. So check out modernmystic.love and take a peek there, as there's a free sampling of some videos waiting for you. Lastly, if you are looking for some conscious conversation and compelling community, check out also our private Modern Mystic podcast Facebook group. Keep on meeting the present moment where the magic lives, one breath at a time. Namaste.